8. From the Depths of the Sea.
A common tactic mages use when confronted by a Quintashall is to overload the creature with their magic. This can be difficult when dealing with a conjured or enthralled Quintashall, as the mage controlling it is able to expel the consumed magic faster than those in the wild.
From Kolvinar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 17. Amandel remained at the bow for several hours, searching for that dark spot in the water. Ilden humored him for a time by searching the waters off the starboard rail, but eventually he left to go below decks.
"I wasn't seeing things," Amandel told himself, pacing back and forth between the forecastle's port side and starboard rails. There definitely had been something moving beside the ship. As he paced, Amandel mulled over the various myths and legends of monsters from the deep. Many seemed far-fetched. There was one monster, however, that lingered at the forefront of his mind. The Noctilius. Despite the varied iterations of the tale, the monster's description was fairly consistent. The Noctilius, an enormous cephalopod with dozens of tentacles and a hardened carapace around its oblong head, would attack unsuspecting ships. Some variations of the myth claimed the monster feasted on men, devouring them whole. Other versions asserted that the Noctilius sought the vessels for their hulls, as the beasts preferred eating wood. Some sailors believed that the metallic hull was invented because of the Noctilius and its appetite for wood. Amandel found that reasoning silly.
"What are you doing?" someone called from above.
Amandel turned as a sailor swung toward him on one of the lines connecting the bowsprit to the foremast.
"Are you looking for something?"
the sailor asked, landing on the decking beside Amandel. Amandel nodded.
"I saw something swimming in the water."
The sailor started, then hurried to the portside rail. He scanned the waters, then turned back to Amandel.
"Where?"
"Over there." He pointed to the opposite side of the ship.
"But it's been several hours."
The sailor laughed.
"Whatever it was, it's probably long gone by now."
He ran a hand through his hair.
"But I'll tell the captain. Never know what we might encounter on our way out of here."
The sailor descended to the main deck and headed toward the open-air bridge. Soon the channel of water emptied into Chrysian Bay. From what Amandel could see, the ice shelves surrounded most of the bay. The shelves were just as tall as those along the coast. Several icebergs dotted the bay, each nearly the size of a small island. Sailors shouted reports, and Amandel noticed some members of the expedition coming topside.
"I better get my things," he thought,
then noticed Ilden in the group. The illusionist carried two packs, his and Amandel's. What a friend. Ilden crossed the main deck, swiftly ascending the steps to the forecastle, holding out Amandel's slog-lean pack. It bulged.
"I threw in an extra blanket."
"Always thoughtful." Amandel took the pack, slinging it over his shoulder.
"Did you see the statues?" Ilden asked.
"What statues?" Ilden looked beyond the ship's bowsprit, frowning.
"They're not visible from here."
His illusion was obviously still atop the highest yardarm.
"They're at the far side of the bay, near the ice shelves, and they're huge."
The Gibran sailed for another half hour before the other side of the bay came into view. The statues Ilden had mentioned were colossal. There were seven of them, each made of glistening pale blue crystal depicting men and women in flowing robes. They towered high, not as high as the ice shelves, but taller than the Gibran. Each stood atop a round pedestal a couple of stories above the waterline.
"Amazing," Ilden said, then leaned close to Amandel. "From what Bayam said in that meeting, I didn't think the Ishari were human."
"What did you think they were?" Ilden shrugged, palms up.
"I don't know. Something that could withstand the cold? I can't imagine living in a place as frigid as this. I mean, how could they grow anything?" That was a valid point. There was no way a civilization could thrive in such a frigid wasteland. Amandal continued eyeing the statues as the Jibaran sailed through the bay. Ildin and those around him were making their own speculations about the statues and what their presence meant for the expedition.
"How incredible," a burly man said, awestruck. "If they could make statues like that, just imagine what kind of Tevis rolls we'll find in the reliquary."
"Wonders the world has never seen," a lanky woman murmured.
"They'll be incredible," someone else said. "Things beyond our wildest dreams."
Amandal cocked his head at those remarks. He didn't understand mages who sought Tevis rolls. Most people who sought Tevis rolls were inept at channeling magic.
"Hey," Ildin nudged Amandal and pointed to the nearest statue. "Look up there."
Amandal followed Ildin's gloved finger to the statue's head. The ears on the statue were not round. They were long and pointed.
Ildin gasped. "They're elven."
Others noticed the distinctive features, discussing the implication of what lay ahead. Though the elves of Kaldar were a mysterious race, many men attributed the construction of Tevis rolls to them.
"Those ears look too long to be elven," Amandal said.
As the Jibaran passed the statues, the crystallized dock came into view. It protruded from an enormous cavern within the ice shelf lining the southern parts of the bay. Ildin sighed.
"Well, now the leisurely part is over."
The Jibaran came to a halt within the mouth of the icy cavern, mooring so the crystalline dock was off the portside rail. Sailors furled the rigging, lowered the gangway, and dropped the anchors. The members of the expedition who had come topside were filing toward the gangway. Amandal, however, remained near the starboard rail, searching the water.
"You're being paranoid," he told himself. "Nothing is there."
Amandal turned from the rail just as Jacob and Morjadayan came topside. Each beamed with excitement as they pushed their way toward Amandal and Ildin.
"Isn't this exhilarating?"
Jacob said, sounding a tad drunk.
"Drinking already?" Ildin asked.
"Just one glass of Helicium,"
Jacob said, waving his hand airily. Morjadayan chuckled.
"When isn't Jacob drinking?"
Jacob squinted thoughtfully.
"When I'm sleeping."
The remark drew laughter from all but Amandal. Silas and Felinia soon came topside, but moved toward the disembarking crowd. Amandal leaned back as his friends continued their banter. His eyes lingered on Felinia, her golden hair pulled back into a ponytail.
"What to do next?"
Felinia noticed Amandal and returned his gaze with a challenging one of her own.
"Ah, the power struggle begins," Amandal thought.
He compressed his lips, fighting the urge to blink. The women moved closer to the gangway, but Felinia continued staring. He knew all too well the games women played to guard their hearts. If Amandal looked away, Felinia would perceive him as weak, although maybe not consciously. Such a simple defeat would ruin any chances he had with her. His friends burst into laughter, but Amandal paid no attention. An amused expression formed on Felinia's face, and she glanced to Silas. The Arpranist was saying something, but Amandal couldn't hear.
"That's one," Amandal mused. "Soon..."
The Jibaran jolted, and Amandal staggered forward. Flashes of blue and silver raced overhead, straight for the vessel's masts. Freezing water splashed onto the main deck. Panicked screams, shouts of alarm, and cracking wood echoed through the air as Amandal struggled to turn around. He tripped and fell onto the deck, his pack slipping off his shoulder. His eyes widened with shock and awe.
Whoa!
Dozens of dark blue tentacles, each as thick as a man, rose from the water, gripping various parts of the Jibaran. Silver wavy patterns adorned each tentacle, with pulsing suckers arrayed along their length.
Those tentacles, that coloring.
They looked like the limbs of a cephalopod, but no cephalopod Amandal recalled had those colors and odd sucker pattern, at least no normal cephalopod. Could it really be the Noctilius? He muttered, attempting to regain his footing. The Gibran tilted, and more water splashed over the starboard rail, dousing an armored mercenary beside Amandal. The man gasped and fell to the decking, his eyes wide. Amandal scurried backward as the ship rocked. He managed to stand just as an enormous oblong shape broke the surface of the water, revealing an earthen-colored shell. Thick rivets lined the brown shell, along with wavy patterns of tan. Deafening squawking echoed across the ship as more dark blue tentacles shot through the air. The tentacles gripped the ship's masts, and the rest of the creature rose from the water. An enormous eye, twice the size of a man's head, gazed at Amandal, its filmy iris contracting. The ship rocked again, and a glistening beak gaped wide above the rail, emitting another deafening squawk. The creature's orifice was lined with dozens of undulating bright orange feelers.
"What is that thing?" Jacob shouted.
Ignoring his friend, Amandal took in a sweeping glance at the ship. People crowded the gangway, pushing and shoving one another, while others jumped from the rails. He searched for Phelinia, but she wasn't aboard.
"You'd better not die, woman," he thought, then turned to Morjadayan.
"Morji, make a bridge!"
"Where?"
Morjadayan demanded.
"The bow!"
Amandal shouted, staggering toward his pack. He struggled against the rocking ship, but recovered his belongings. With his pack in hand, Amandal darted to the forecastle. A cacophony of commotion resounded around him. Someone barked orders to attack the monster. Incantations were shouted, but each spell was indiscernible. Singing metal and clanking armor rang loud, followed by battle cries. As Amandal ran, the ship rocked again, and the enormous sea monster squawked as it climbed aboard. Tentacles whipped overhead, gripping the masts and yardarms. A crack resounded above Amandal, and he looked up. A yardarm snapped in two, and the splintered beam fell directly toward him. Amandal threw himself sideways as the yardarm struck the decking. Morjadayan dashed ahead of Amandal, blue lights surrounding him. Jacob and Ildin were right behind the Barjanist. Amandal recovered, bounding toward his friends. He swiftly ascended the steps, but was knocked forward by something that sent a freezing surge across his back. He gasped and fell to the steps, his back stung with excruciating pain. A haze of agony filled Amandal's mind, and he struggled to move. The cacophony of battle turned to droning noise.
"Am I going to die here?"
No, he couldn't die here. Not now. With all his might, Amandal forced his arms forward. As he struggled to climb, hands clasped his arms.
"Come on, Amandal!"
Amandal looked up as Ildin pulled him and his pack to the forecastle. Blue light shone behind him.
"He's almost done!" Ildin shouted. "Come on!"
Amandal pushed through the agony, but struggled to climb the stairs. Ildin wrapped his arm around him, helping him toward the others.
"I thought I was going to eat you," Jacob declared.
"What?"
Amandal gritted his teeth.
"One of those tentacles hit you," the necromancer said. "But then it slithered away."
Amandal blinked several times. He glanced over his shoulder, past Ildin. Mercenaries and soldiers were scattered across the main deck. Some were climbing the masts, swinging their weapons at the tentacles gripping the ship.
"Done!"
Morjadayan shouted, leaping over the railing. He landed on a transparent sheet of blue light, an inverted barrier of Barjan magic, and dashed across it. The Barjan spread from the ship, creating a bridge to the far side of the icy cavern.
"Go,"
Ildin told Jacob.
"I'll help Amandal."
The necromancer nodded, then followed Morjadayan.
"You first,"
Ildin said, helping Amandal toward the rail. Amandal struggled to climb, but Ildin pushed him onto the magical bridge. The illusionist was right beside him again and helped him to his feet. He wrapped an arm around Amandal once again and started across the bridge. Amandal struggled to move. Each step sent a surge of pain along his back.
"Are you going to be okay?" Ildin asked.
"I don't know,"
Amandal replied through clenched teeth.
"This stinging is getting worse, almost like it's going numb.
You're going to need an arpranist."
Bayam fell against the bulkhead outside her cabin. The muffled noises of battle filtered through the corridor.
"What on Kaldar is happening?" she growled, and stumbled toward the doors leading to the open-air bridge, struggling against the rocking of the ship. She staggered outside and gasped upon seeing the cause of all the commotion.
"A Noctilius," she muttered, gawking at the enormous sea creature. "But only one?"
Noctili were rarely alone. They swam in small groups, hunting prey together. A Noctilius never attacked alone unless provoked. Was Chrysian Bay home to one of their nests? If so, there was little time before another Noctilius joined the attack. Bayam regained her composure, hurrying back inside as best she could. Kaidal staggered from the wall near Vayam's cabin, clad in her plated armor with the emblem of the Empire emblazoned across her breastplate.
"What's going on?" the lieutenant demanded.
"The ship is under attack," Vayam replied, stumbling toward her cabin. "Now help me secure my things."
Once inside, she darted to the table where the map of Abadal was unfurled. Several of the weights used to secure it had fallen off the table, and a corner of the map was partly curled.
"I can't lose this," she thought, sweeping the weights off the table.
She swiftly rolled the map and dropped it into a tall cylindrical case holding other rolled sheets. As Vayam turned from the table, a thud resounded against the outer bulkhead of her cabin. She started, backing away to the door.
"Who's attacking us?" Kaidal demanded,
pulling Vayam's satchel from under the bed.
"Is it the Ishari?"
Vayam shook her head. As she opened her mouth, a resounding crack filled the cabin. Wooden splinters flew wildly. Vayam shielded her face, but a splinter struck her cheek, drawing blood. A flash of teal and silver raced through the cabin, crushing the table where the map had lain.
Was that one of the monster's tentacles?
No. Vayam's eyes widened. This tentacle didn't belong to the Noctilius she had seen. That monster was on the other side of the ship, and its coloring was different. The teal tentacle gripped the hole in the outer bulkhead like a finger gripping a handhold.
"What is that thing?"
Kaidal demanded, drawing her sword. She had since dropped Vayam's satchel, and the contents were strewn across the cabin, including the Tevis roll from the Emperor. The off-white cylinder rolled across the decking and toward the door.
"Idiot," Vayam growled,
stumbling toward the rolling Tevis roll. It hit the doorframe and wobbled out of the cabin. She hurried after it and threw herself to the decking, landing atop the Tevis roll.
"I can't lose you either."
She pulled the ancient device from under her and turned back to her cabin. Kaidal was swinging her sword at the teal and silver tentacle, but her blade didn't as much as dent the creature's limb. The Noctilius swatted at Kaidal, knocking her onto the bed, but the lieutenant rebounded and attacked again. Vayam pushed herself from the decking and hurried back inside her cabin. She ducked, evading the flailing tentacle, and grabbed her satchel. It was mostly empty, only her sketch pad was still inside. She shoved the case and Tevis roll into their pockets, but the tentacle smacked her against the inner bulkhead. The freezing limb sapped her breath, and she slid to the decking.
"Damned beast!"
Luckily, the satchel was between her and the bulkhead. Neither case nor Tevis roll had as much as shifted. Gasping, she crawled across the decking and scooped up her belongings. Though most weren't vital to the expedition, they were still precious. Her things secured, Vayam staggered to her feet and wobbled out of the cabin. She had to escape, especially now that a second Noctilius was attacking. Amandal gritted his teeth as Ildin dragged him to the ledge where Jacob and Morjadayan stood. The stinging reminded him of the frostbite he had received during that nightmare.
"There's another one!"
Jacob shouted, clasping the sides of his head.
"Oh boy! Oh boy!" "It doesn't look like our shipmates are having any success," Morjadayan said with a groan. "They've been hacking at that thing's tentacles to no avail."
Ildin set Amandal and his pack down on the ledge. The ice beneath Amandal was cold, but not as cold as his back.
"And no one's magic seems to be hurting it," Morjadayan continued. "It's like the monster has its own barjan."
Amandal fought against the pain, gazing across the water to the crystallized dock. A set of teal and silvery tentacles rose from the water and wrapped around the ship's masts, revealing a teal-colored Noctilius. This second sea monster grabbed several mages and mercenaries and threw them into the water. Each of the men was abruptly stilled as they hit the choppy waves, undoubtedly debilitated by the water's frigid temperature. All the while, the various members of the expedition attacked the sea monsters, but their attempts were futile. None of the destructive magics seemed to damage either Noctilius.
"We have to retreat," Jacob screamed, shaking his head. "Those things are going to kill us all."
More yardarms fell from the masts, and the foremast began to crack.
"Quit your sniveling," Morgadian snapped at Jacob. "Start casting some magic."
"And draw the attention of those monsters?" Jacob blurted. "No way."
Morgadian and Jacob continued arguing while Ildin knelt beside Amandal.
"Can you summon something to stop them?" the illusionist whispered. "You know, those things."
He was probably referring to the Gangolins.
They hate cold," Amandal said between grunts and groans. "Even the conjured versions react adversely to frigid temperatures."
Ildin frowned.
"Besides," Amandal continued, "there's not enough room."
The illusionist scanned the icy cavern in a sweeping glance.
"Are they bigger than this cave?"
Amandal shook his head.
"No, but there's no room for them to stand. Not without going into the water. The stupid things would probably just clam up before they could reach either sea monster."
"What are we going to do?"
Ildin muttered, turning to face the awful scene of destruction. Amid the pain, a moment of clarity came to Amandal. He saw the creatures for what they were, potentially destructive tools in the hands of a conjurer.
"Capture them," he thought. "Yes, that's it."
He grinned, then winced from the pain. They didn't have to defeat the monsters. Amandal could simply pull the sea creatures into the Vizirm expanse.
"They'll make for powerful conjurations."
Morgadian and Jacob's debate became heated. Jacob started slinging profane insults.
"You always want to run and hide, don't you?" Morgadian taunted. "Like a frightened child."
Jacob gasped.
"How dare you! I am not a... I can stop them,"
Amandal said. The mages ceased their bickering and turned to face Amandal. Jacob looked dumbfounded.
"You can conjure something big enough to fight those?" the necromancer asked.
"I have a better idea,"
Amandal said, struggling to grin.
"I'm going to need help, though. In order to subdue them, I need to focus. I can't do that with this."
He gestured to his back. Ildin's eyes widened with enlightenment.
"I'll find Sylas," he said, directing his attention to the ship.
"What are you going to do, Amandal?" Morgadian asked.
A pained but mirthful chuckle left Amandal's lips as he glanced to Morgadian.
"I'm going to add some exotic creatures to my menagerie."
"He's mad,"
Jacob muttered.
"And we're all going to die."
Felinia had put considerable distance between herself and the battle. No, she was not a coward. Felinia just preferred a distant vantage that allowed her to see the entire battle. Once the first monster attacked, Felinia and Sylas had leapt overboard. They bounded across the dock until reaching the cavern's icy banks. It was there that Felinia decided to make her stand. Several others had fled in that direction, but the cowards were making their way through tunnels along the cavern wall. Vibrant orange flame gathered around Felinia as a second sea monster rose from the water. This creature, however, was a breathtaking mix of teal and silver. The teal-colored sea monster climbed over the crystallized dock, pulling itself toward the Gibran. Felinia had heard of enormous monsters from the deep, but she never expected to find one during her adventures.
"This is horrible," Sylas screamed.
Nearly a dozen flaming orbs coalesced around Felinia, and she hurled the magic at the creature.
"Make yourself useful," she told Sylas.
"Start imbuing the mercenaries and soldiers with our pran auras."
If Sylas was pained by the remark, Felinia didn't notice. She had more important things to worry about than her friend's feelings. Through her mental control, she rained several orbs down on the creature's hardened shell, but the blast didn't seem to faze the monster. Belenia unleashed the rest of her orbs, but the magic had no effect. A disintegrating blast might do the trick. It was times like this that she appreciated her knowledge of both the elemental and arcane disciplines of wizardry. Belenia uttered another incantation, and violet light gathered around her hands as she prepared a beam of disintegration. Such magic could evaporate whatever it touched. Dense objects or surfaces would take time to penetrate, but nothing short of Barjan magic could withstand a disintegrating beam. Amid her incantation, Felinia noticed something flying toward her and Sylas. She turned, still uttering the words to muster her magic. A man approached, hovering through the air. As he neared, she saw it was none other than Ilden. The disintegrating magic coalesced at that moment, a brilliant mass of violet light. An illusion, she thought, aiming her hands toward the sea monster. Felinia had sent many an illusion flying. It was fun. Focus, she chided herself. Ilden, Sylas gasped. Sylas, we need you, Ilden said. Amandal was struck by that monster. He can't feel his back. Felinia turned from the exchange, unleashing her magic. The violet beam shot above those on the dock and collided with the sea monster's shell. She could feel the magic struggling to dissolve the hardened carapace. What is that thing made of? She said between clenched teeth. The blast faded, but before it dissipated completely, Felinia could sense what little damage she had inflicted upon the monster. Barely a dent, she groaned, throwing her hands into the air. What was it going to take to kill these monsters? Amid her despair, Felinia turned back to the exchange between Sylas and Ilden's illusion. A plan, but he can't focus through the pain, the illusion said. Morjadain is going to make another Barjan bridge so you can reach us. The illusion gestured across the enormous icy cavern toward a ledge protruding from the ice shelf. Three masculine figures stood along it, and another was sitting against the ice wall, undoubtedly Amandal Aramian. What did you do to yourself now, you big oaf? Have you seen Fendar? The illusion asked. Or Dougal? Sylas shook her head. A burst of blue light shot from the ledge, forming a ramp of Barjan magic. Clever, Felinia mused. Hurry across, Ilden's illusion said. I'm going to look for the others. With that, the illusion soared through the air, searching the crowd on the crystallized dock. What are you planning, Amandal? Felinia wondered, watching Sylas dart up the Barjan ramp, mustering Arpran magic as she ran. Felinia took in a deep breath and returned her focus to the battle. A band of sword-bearing men and women dashed toward the teal-colored sea creature. The beast practically sat on the dock's crystal surface, swatting the advancing soldiers and mercenaries and hurling them into the frigid water. Let's try this again, she muttered, eyeing the dent in the creature's brown shell. Once more, Felinia uttered the disintegrating incantation. The Arpran magic surged through Amandal, vanquishing the pain in his back. That's better, he declared, rising to his feet while glancing across the Barjan bridge. Felinia fired another disintegrating blast, and the sea monster squawked. It sounded more angry than pained. She'll probably kill that one, he thought, glancing to the teal Noctilius. You're really going to capture that thing? Sylas asked, her tone full of awe. Can you really do that? I mean, I'm not questioning your abilities. I just didn't know if something that big could be sucked into one of your portals. It's not going to work, Jacob shouted. That'll only make it come after us.
If you don't pipe down, it'll definitely come after us, Morjadain said.
Sylas giggled at the banter. Jacob shot back a snide remark. Amandal ignored him and shifted his focus to the dark blue Noctilius. Two of its tentacles had been hacked off by the men on the masts. He frowned upon seeing the maimed limbs. If you were to capture that Noctilius, it would always be conjured with those mangled tentacles. Oh, well, at least he would have a Noctilius to conjure. He focused his mind and began the incantation to open a portal to the Vizirm expanse. Enthralling magic, part of the spell, would pull the creature into the portal. The golden light appeared between his hands, then wisped across the water. Amandal directed the magic behind the dark blue Noctilius, but as the portal began to coalesce, a wave rose behind the Gibran. More dark blue tentacles shot from the water, grappling the ship's aft hull.
"Do you see that?" Jacob screamed. "There's a third one!"
"Perfect," Amandal cheered inwardly, redirecting the conjuration magic. He focused on the third sea monster, guiding the rest of the golden particles toward the ship's crumbling stern. Though not as large as the other two, the Noctilius was still colossal. The golden magic wisped around the smaller Noctilius, but the sea monster paid no attention to the portal forming behind it. It probably didn't understand what the golden light was doing. Soon the conjuration magic coalesced, forming a golden portal to the Vizirm expanse. The portal was too small, barely a quarter the size of the Noctilius's colossal head. Portals to the Vizirm expanse always started small but grew as the conjurer funneled more magic into them. Amandal repeated the first part of the incantation, mustering more of his conjuration magic and guiding the golden particles to the portal. The mystical vortex grew, spreading into the water. Once the portal was large enough, Amandal continued with the incantation, mustering the enthralling component. Charcoal light shot from his hands, mingling with the golden portal.
"Aren't you finished yet?" Jacob hollered.
Amandal ignored him, focused on finishing the incantation. Soon a mass of dark gray magic shot from the portal, gripping the smaller Noctilius. The sea monster stilled as the enthralling magic merged Amandal's mind with the sea monster. "Back away," he commanded. A resistance pulled at Amandal's thoughts, and he felt the word no. The Noctilius couldn't be thinking the actual word, of course. The word was simply an interpretation by his mind. Stunned, Amandal focused on moving the individual tentacles. They resisted his mental command, too. Gritting his teeth, Amandal mustered his might, but no matter how hard he tried, he could not move the Noctilius.
"Why isn't the monster moving?" Silas asked. "It should be moving, shouldn't it?"
"I told you it wasn't going to work!" Jacob shouted.
"Amandal?"
Ilden asked, blankly staring into space. He was undoubtedly focusing his vision through his illusion.
"It's resisting,"
Amandal said through clenched teeth.
"Here, let me help,"
Ilden said, turning from the ship. He uttered his own enthralling incantation. Charcoal light burst from his hands, beaming straight for the enthralled Noctilius. Amandal could feel Ilden's magic mingling with his. Ilden's thoughts were also present in Amandal's mind.
"Release the ship," Ilden commanded.
"Move,"
Amandal barked, focusing on the tentacles. One of the dark blue limbs slithered down the hull, falling limp into the water.
"Ha!"
Morjadayan blurted, followed by a smacking noise.
"It's working!"
"Don't hit me!"
Jacob complained. Together, Amandal and Ilden managed to drop each of the dark blue tentacles into the water, but they struggled to move the Noctilius to the portal. The monster had an indomitable will. Amandal had rarely encountered anything as stubborn as the Noctilius. Not even the Gangolans, with their colossal size and strength, had the mental fortitude to resist the pull into the Vizirm expanse. This ordeal, however, was a true battle of wills.
"Morji,"
Amandal said through clenched teeth,
"we need your help."
"What do you want me to do?"
the Barshinist asked.
"Push it,"
Amandal replied, straining to keep his focus. An incantation left Morjadayan's lips, and blue light reflected off the icy ledge.
"Do you need another illusionist?"
Silas asked.
"That might help,"
Ilden muttered.
"I couldn't find Fendar."
Silas darted down the Barjan ramp without a word.
"You too, Jacob,"
Amandal said, struggling to speak.
"Try weakening it with a life-draining
The enthralled Noctilius fought back, moving one of its tentacles toward the Gibran.
Why not use my acid?
No!
Amandel interrupted.
Siphon! No!
Amandel did not want Jacob marring the Noctilius. It had remained unscathed from the battle, and Amandel wanted the creature to remain that way. Besides, a life-draining spell would weaken the monster's resolve. Acid would only enrage it. A flabbergasted sigh left Jacob's lips, and then he began uttering his own incantation. Morjadian's unformed barjan flew across the water as Jacob mustered his life-draining magic. The orange hue lit the ledge as Silas returned. Another incantation sounded behind Amandal. He knew that alluring voice. It belonged to none other than Felinia. Soon, the barjan barrier formed between the smaller Noctilius and the ship, pushing against the sea monster. Amandal could feel the pressure through his spell, but Morjadian struggled to move the colossal cephalopod. A bald mass of orange strands flew from the ledge, followed by a dark gray cloud. Both magics struck the Noctilius in unison. Jacob's life-draining magic weakened the monster, allowing Amandal and Ilden to move the Noctilius closer to the portal.
You will move,
Felinia's command echoed through the shared enthralling bond within the sea creature. Amandal could feel the Noctilius's resistance waning. With their combined might, he, Ilden, and Felinia managed to make the monster swim toward the portal. Morjadian's barrier helped prod the creature along, but not by much.
We just have to make it touch the portal, Amandal said, his voice strained.
He could feel Jacob's magic weakening the Noctilius again, making it easier for him, Ilden, and Felinia to manipulate the monster. An excruciating moment passed before the Noctilius swam through the mystical doorway and disappeared into the Vizirm expanse. Amandal could still feel the Noctilius beyond the portal, frozen in defiance. The other's spells, however, had been nullified as the Noctilius crossed the mystical threshold.
You did it! Silas cried.
More joyous shouts erupted from the others as Amandal closed the portal. The golden vortex collapsed on itself, dissipating in the water. Once the portal closed, a resounding crash echoed from the Gibran. Startled, Amandal spun. The top half of the ship's mainmast sank into the water. Limp mercenaries and soldiers floated around the yardarms and sails, but soon sank with the rest of the toppled rigging.